Ladies and gentlemen, let's all stand for the reading of God's holy word. As many of you know, I am on somewhat of a vacation after preaching the word of God, preaching the gospel for over 1,300 days in a row. For 4 years, starting back in January 2016, to try to help Christians first and foremost keep the main thing, because we have too many Christians getting involved with politics and losing their minds, losing their hearts, losing their souls. And this is the reason why last year this time I came out with the book The Lost Souls of Black Folk and White Folk, because the church is guilty for forsaking Christ and going after the world and getting involved with power politics instead of the power of the Holy Ghost to witness to those who are lost around us. Just a symbol that God put in my heart to do, gave me the grace to do. And we will continue because some of the folks who did not take heed are hurting and smarting for it now. We pray that people will understand that America will never be great again until America becomes godly again in the church. And judgment must begin at the house of God first. We must do what we're supposed to do. It's not the other way around. It's not politics and the church. It's the church, and then the politics will change, particularly in America. So our focus needs to be on Jesus, just Jesus, and no one else. But over the past month, after a busy September, October, November, December, and January, I needed to take a break. God gave me the grace to do so, and our staff needed to take a break. However, we will continue preaching after this break is over on a daily basis. I have just been preaching now a regular schedule, which is a vacation for me. I thank God for you all coming on. Some of you coming right out of church services yourselves. Some of you, you only come here. And whatever the case, we thank God for you. We had a tremendous crowd on Wednesday night. An amazing crowd of folks who visited us on Wednesday night. And we thank God for you. Pray for my family, my extended family, especially my mother and her and the family there, my two sisters, as we lost a baby brother this past week that I was informed about. So pray for them. People are dying every day. And if you're not ready to die, you need to get ready. That's the main purpose of the Just Jesus evangelistic campaign, to get folks saved, to keep the main thing, and to share the gospel, to preach the gospel. And we thank God for the people who have gotten saved and those who have come back to Christ. And then you need to be praying, and you need to be prepared for death in your family. For death in the family is more painful than your death, initially. If you're not saved, it's going to be painful throughout eternity, according to Jesus Christ. So you need to make sure you're ready for death in your family, because death can happen at any moment. And I offer to you a prayer that God gave me that tremendously has helped me tremendously over the past 2 or 3 years. Yes, you need to pray the Lord's Prayer. You need to pray the prayer that God put in your heart to pray. God will fix a prayer in your heart that you need to pray and cover every day. And then He'll add things onto it as the Holy Ghost sees fit. But here's a prayer that God gave me that has helped many people and has helped people to be ready for tragedy in their lives and death in their lives. God, prepare me for good days and bad days. Prepare me for celebrations and tragedies. Prepare me for weddings and funerals. Prepare me for life and death. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and forsake. Amen. Now you try it, and you pray that every day along with all of your other prayers. It's a little short prayer. And when tragedy strikes, when death strikes, when hurt and heartache comes, you'll be amazed at how God will have your heart, your mind, your soul, and spirit prepared. Let's all stand for the reading of the Word of God, if you can. A message titled, and we're going to continue it today, in the Just Jesus campaign, Finding Rest and Peace in a Restless World. Part 8, the Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, Day 1011, since January the 20th, 2017, Day 1308, since January the 1st, 2016. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 through 30. The Holy Word of God reads, At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, the intellectuals, the highbrow people. We used to call them in James City, Siditi, something along those lines. We didn't know what it meant back then, really, and we don't know what it means now, but it meant that you thought you were better than others. High Siditi folk. Another name we had in the hood was bougie, you know, the well-connected who think they got it going on. Because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Babes is talking about people who are not well-connected. Not the intellectuals. They have not been to college. They have not been to seminary, or as Pastor Charles McKinney calls it, the cemetery, where most preachers go to die. They have no prayer. They have no power. They have no peace. They have no message. They are good at only following other preachers. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. God, this is your will. This is your thing. This is your doing. and I thank you for it, is what Jesus is saying. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. And that's the point, that's the part of this passage that we're going to deal with today. Come unto me, Jesus says after that, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Some of you need rest, I can tell by looking at you. You need rest. You need peace. You need joy. And I'm here to tell you, you may think you can handle this life by yourself, but right now, you need to understand that you can't. You need the Lord. And he's inviting you to come to him. We have been praying for Mrs. Bryant and the three girls. They have suffered a tragedy that nobody can come back from unless they have the Lord in their lives. And when we pray, that is Kobe Bryant's wife, and the other families as well, we pray for them to turn their eyes towards Jesus, because he's the only one that can truly help them. They can receive counseling for the rest of their lives, and they might need it. But if they don't turn to Jesus, they'll never recover from that deep, tragic hole in their hearts. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Join with me, trust me, believe on me, and let me carry the load for you, or at least most of the load for you. You know, Jesus is not going to do everything for you, and he can, but why would he make you if he would do everything for you? He does want you to exercise your free will and do some things yourself with his help. Now, he'll help you, but he's not going to do everything for you. You need to pray. You need to seek his face. You need to acknowledge him in all of your ways. But he's not going to do everything for you, but he will carry the load. And there's nothing like a person who has broad shoulders and who will take on the load for you and make your way a little bit easier. Do you know anybody like that? We thank God we have some people in our families and in our communities and in our churches. They're broad-shouldered individuals, not always men, oftentimes women. There are some women, by the way, that are in our day and time who are stronger than some men. It's maybe not, that's not how it's supposed to be, but that's how it is. They can take more, and they can get people through stuff better. And you know it's true. There's nothing like an old mother who saw the situation before it even happened. She knew it was going to happen. God told her it was going to happen, but she's a praying woman. She doesn't say much. But when you call out for some help from her, either in prayer to God, and then God directs you to her, she knows how to fix things. There are fixers in the church, by the way. They can look at you and tell you what needs to be fixed. And they'll tell you to your face now, you know, looking, beholding you, as the Bible says in the book of Acts, looking at you with their eyes. Real hard. Now, I can fix it if you want me to. I've done it before. I can help you get out of it. But you got to do what I tell you. See, Jesus will use some fixers in the church to help carry the load. See, some of you all are not ready for people to die in your family, and they are going to die. I don't know why you don't think what you're thinking about. I don't know what you're thinking about. You got folk in your family. You have mothers and fathers, sisters and brothers, aunties and uncles, cousins, friends are going to die on you. Some are going to just drop dead at 58. Some at 42. And you're not prepared. But there are some people in the church who have been through it with Jesus, and they'll help you through it. And here's what you want to hear from them. They don't have a counseling degree, but here's what they're going to tell you. It's going to be all right. I lost my son 24 years ago, and I know you're hurting, but you just stick with Jesus, pray to Jesus, pray to God, and walk with me, and I'll walk you through it. I've been there. I know how you feel. Now, we don't need, you may be seated because it's one of those Sundays. God bless you. Bless your heart. We don't need somebody, excuse the English, who does not know nothing. No, sir. We don't need somebody who has not been through anything themselves. No. Don't come talking about, I know how you feel. I told somebody this past week, I've never lost a child in death. One day I may. I don't know. And I'll call on you to help me walk through it. But right now, you lost a child. And you lost the baby child. And I'm not going to say I know how you feel, because I don't. But I know it's a painful thing. You say, how do you know? Common sense will tell you that, number one. Number two, all of the counseling books and everything says the same. There's nothing like it other than divorce. You say, preacher, divorce? Yes, divorce. It's a death. It's a bad thing. It's a bad death. Why? Because when you get married to your spouse, there's a bond there. You can move to California and he can be in North Carolina. But that bond is like a steel rod that holds y'all together. And you're not going to be happy until you get it right. You can fling with somebody else. You can try to move on with somebody else. But God has a way. Oh, yes. But it's just as painful as divorce when you lose a child. This is a rare thing. It's a terrible thing. And only God, only Jesus can get you through it. There's some sisters and some brothers who can walk you through it as well. There are groups that meet together, parents who have lost a child. And it makes no difference the age. We're not talking about little children all the time. That's doubly tragic. And may I help somebody this morning by telling you, I know we got a whole lot of folk and psychologists and counselors today telling people that you'll get over it. Listen to me. You hear me well. There's some pains in life because of our choices, our sins, certain things that happen in our lives that, my beloved friend, you will second guess yourself for the rest of your life. You will feel the pain of that, maybe not every day by the grace of God and only by the grace of God, but that pain is going to go with you to your grave. Because you're going to always be thinking, I could have done this. I could have done this better. I should not have married that man that brought a division between me and my children, and so forth and so on. I was selfish. Maybe my child would be alive today if I had spent more time with him or her. That's going to follow you to your grave. There are some things contrary to the prosperity gospel, my beloved, that they're not going away. The pain of divorce is not going. You can fake and try to fool people all you want. It's not going away. You say, well, I'm married now to somebody else and so forth and so on, and we're happy. You're a liar to hell. It's worse. And you know it's worse. And you don't know where your children are because they're disgusted and frustrated and mad at you for doing what you did. And while you getting your groove on once or twice a week with the new somebody, your children are suffering. And God will make you feel that pain for the rest of your life. Okay? There are some things that you don't recover from. I don't care who you think you is. Black or white, red or yellow, educated, not educated. The intellectuals, the wise, the prudent, whoever you think you are, there's some things that are going to happen in your life. They will never leave you. And you're not destroyed by them, only by the grace of God. And by the way, some of you, bless your heart, while you're coming to Jesus and yoking up with him, he's going to require of you to confess some sins. Because, see, a lot of the reason why you have pain in your heart and you're faking and you are a phony in the church, calling yourself this and that, and God has never called you that. We are something with these titles, especially black folk. Why can't we just call you Paula? Why can't we just call you Dan, Brother Dan, Brother Brother Paul, Sister Stephanie? Why we got to call you umpteen names before you respond? And the person who needs a title, I mean, umpteen titles. And the person who needs a title to do something for God, that's a sure bet they're not worth a flip. By the way, God didn't give any titles. You're not evangelist so-and-so. You're not reverend so-and-so. It's all about the work. An evangelist does the work of evangelism. The teacher does the work of teaching. The pastor does the work of pastoring. But his name is Bill Jones. Brother Bill. Brother David. Brother Gerard. That's all you are. And you're still an unprofitable servant, no matter what you do. Your degrees don't mean anything unless you're using them. See, let me drop something on you. You can go to college and still not be educated. You understand that, don't you? I said you can graduate from college and not be educated, as we used to say in James City, edumacated. So come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's not about you, it's about him. If you don't hook up with, listen to me, may I help you? If you don't hook up with Jesus Christ, you're not going to amount to anything. And see, God does not mind making you great as long as you stay humble and do what he tells you to do. God is all about the greatness. But he only raises up people to be great who are humble, down in the dirt, humble. They know they're not about nothing, and they say every day, Lord, you know I deserve hell. I deserve hell since I've been saved. They humble down in the dirt, humble. They love and they thank God for the grace of God and his mercy. And they're thankful for it every day of their lives, because they know if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. That's, and see, that meek and lowly thing? Jesus said, I'm meek and lowly in heart. So guess what he wants you to be? He wants you to be meek and lowly in heart. If you're going to hook up with him, he wants you to be meek and lowly, humble. Meek like Moses. Meek like Jesus. Moses said, God's going to raise up a prophet similar to me. Moses was the meekest man on earth. And then Jesus beat him, of course. Shall we pray? Holy Father God in heaven, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. None of us would be here today. We would not have done what we have done if it had not been for you. And Lord, it is amazing and at the same time sad that too many of us, we don't learn until we get older in you that has been you all of the time. You did it all in us and through us and for us. And it is amazing what you have done in your mercy, your love, and your grace. And we thank you for it. And we give you the glory, praise, and honor. We praise you for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Holy Ghost, your Holy Word, and for all of the millions and manifold blessings that you have bestowed upon us. And Holy Father God, we individually and collectively confess our sins, our failures, our faults unto you. Thank you for helping some of us to be meek and lowly and humble, down in the dirt humble, realizing we don't even deserve to call on your name. But yet, you call on us and you tell us to come boldly to your throne of grace. Now that's some love and mercy and grace for us. And I don't know, Lord, I believe you told us that because you knew we would have our head down as we should. And we would be sheepish about coming to your throne of grace. Those of us who have any sense, Lord, will understand, who am I to be able to come to the throne of grace of Jesus Christ and of God? And so, Lord, thank you for inviting us to do that. Thank you for inviting us to come to you and to yoke up with you. And so, Lord, help us to be humble and meek and lowly like you. And help us, Lord, even though we may not have sinned in the past 12 hours, but we still feel dirty and guilty. And so, Lord, help us to continue to confess our sins, our sinfulness, our failures, and our faults. And Lord, help us to continue to pray as we were taught by our grandmothers and great-grandmothers, Lord, the Lord's Prayer. Deliver us from evil. Deliver us from temptation and evil. Grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to pray without ceasing. Break the band of wickedness in us, as some of us will continue the fast all the way through or to Good Friday and celebrate with a great Good Friday kill the fatted calf meal Saturday and Sunday, and then we'll eat the leftovers on Monday if you'd allow us to live and if you should tarry your coming. Break the band of wickedness in all of our lives. Cast out, I pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demons of hell that are in some people, even in the church, via the internet. We have people in the church who have been trapped, who have been bamboozled by the devil via the internet, looking at ungodly stuff, and the demons have jumped on them, looking at pornography, looking at demonic witchcraft stuff, looking at Harry Potter, which is straight from hell, wizards, which you warned your people not to do in your holy word. Some people will be going to hell for it, people who practice sorcery, listening to ungodly music and ungodly words, mixing it up with ungodly people, and the demons are jumping on your people. For as one demon said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Lord, I pray for everybody who is demon possessed or demon oppressed throughout these next 40 plus days, that you will break the hold of the devils and demons on their lives. Let the light just shine in their hearts and minds again. And we pray that thousands will hear the gospel over these next 40 days and that they would come to know you as Savior. And we pray, Lord, for your special unction, anointing, and the power of your Holy Spirit to preach your holy word, save those who are lost, and revive those who are saved. And we pray now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, cast out the devil and the demons of hell and the satanic demonic spirit of Judas, betrayal and sabotage, and the satanic demonic hindering spirit of Tobias, and others, Sanballat. Drive these demonic spirits out of our churches, the spirit of Demetrius, the spirit of Demas, the spirit of Alexander the coppersmith, and the spirit of Judas, betrayal and hindrance to your work. They're still here. Those spirits are still here. As you know, Lord, we fight them every day. Even in our family, nobody wants to admit it, but even in our own families, our greatest enemies, for many preachers and many servants of yours are in their own family. We, in the prosperity gospel age, we don't like to mention that or say that. Our families are supposed to be perfect until we find out somebody killed his wife and then killed himself in the church and his children as well. And it makes people feel uncomfortable even as I mention it in this prayer, because everything is supposed to be hunkadory in our families, our Brady Bunch families, when in reality we are the Adams family in many cases in our churches. God help us to tell the truth, confess our sins and repent and turn from our wicked ways. Demonstrate the power, the unction, and the anointing of your Holy Ghost once again. And this just Jesus evangelistic message. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. John MacArthur said, Jesus offers peace from God to all who are the recipients of his grace, peace and rest. He makes peace with God for those who trust in him and surrender to him in faith. And he brings the peace of God to those who walk with him. Do you have peace with God today, dear friend? I know you look good in your three-piece suit that you paid $456 for today in church. I know you look good with your alligator shoes. I know you look good in your beautiful red dress that cost $500 plus, and the shoes that have the red bottoms. I know you look good and You look like $1 million, but behind that facade is trouble and unrest and no peace. And you need to come to Jesus in a very real sense and get naked about your evil, about your sin, about your secret sins that you think nobody knows about. I have told you before, and I'm going to say it again, you can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool spiritual people in the church. They can smell you coming, these people. People who pray to God all the time. And on top of that, they have a discerning spirit. They can see right through you, and they don't even try. Thank God for the pastors who have that unique ability. You know, the pastor that you don't even have to say 3 words. He already knows what you're talking about. He already has a plan. He already has a solution. And before you know it, in 10 minutes, your problem is solved. That kind of pastor. You know, it's not all pastors are not that way, but there's some who got that gift. Within 3 minutes, they know what you need, they know what you've been through, and they know where you want to go. Thank God. That's a gift. Because see, you need to listen to me very carefully. You need to have somebody like that in your life. That's why I thank God for good pastors. They can size the situation up in 3 minutes or less. And I know you may think that you need more than that or whatever. No, but he already knows what the situation is. How does he know? Because God has told him so. Why? How? Because he's a praying pastor. Do you not know that God will reveal things to you about people and situations and everything else through prayer? The praying people get that extra deal. And hopefully your pastor is a praying man with the gift of discernment. Some of these pastors can tell you what the situation is before you tell them. And go ahead and solve it for you right then and there. Just tell you what he needs to say and it's over with. What is the benefit of that? The benefit is, beloved, it saves time. See, you have to go to the counselor, you know, bless his heart or her heart. You got to go to the counselor, not all, but most of them, you got to go there for 8 weeks, 10 weeks before you get any help. But not with a discerning pastor in the church who's a praying man. In less than 10 minutes, 15 minutes, an hour at the most, he'll have you on your way with a smile. That's the value of a great pastor. I thank God. I know I'm hard on many pastors because some of these people are father called, mother called. They think it's a profession or something. And they follow everybody in the world. They don't know. They don't even act like they don't even know God. They don't pray to God. They don't depend upon God. They read a blog, and then they follow what the man said in the blog. Dr. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, "The little world within us." And he was a great pastor, and I thank God for the great pastors. Like the great world, the little world within us, like the great world without, is full of confusion and strife. But when Jesus enters it and whispers, "Peace be unto you," or what I used to hear as a child in the black church, "Peace be still." There is a calm, yea, a rapture of bliss. And hardly anybody can say it like Charles Haddon Spurgeon. In our last two messages, beloved, we looked at how all things have been committed to Jesus by the Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Here is one more thing we can learn from verse 27 of our passage. So next, no one knows God, the Father. Now hear me well from the Word of God. Except for Jesus and those to whom Jesus will reveal him. You can't get in unless you know somebody. This is the real deal from the old adage that it's not what you know, it's who you know. And you can believe that when it comes to knowing God and getting in to having a relationship with God Almighty. You better know somebody. You don't need to know me, but you better know Jesus. Otherwise, you won't get in. There are clubs that you can't get into in this country called America unless you know somebody. Things have to be arranged. There are private institutions and things in this country that you can't get into. You can have 10,000 degrees, all kinds of talent, all kinds of good looks, and all kinds of money. If you don't know somebody, you can't get in. And beloved, you can't get in to heaven to see God without knowing Jesus Christ. That's a fact. You can know Buddha. You can know Hare Krishna. You can know Muhammad. But if you don't know Jesus, you won't see God. That's a fact, dear friend. You'll never know God. You'll never have a personal relationship with God. He wants to have one with you, but you have to go through King Jesus. Our passage reads, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. That's it. That's the bottom line. So that's not fair. Well, you can deal with it, because that's how it is. Jesus Christ is God, as we have already established from the Word of God, as is written in the beginning of the Gospel of John. Jesus has existed alongside God the Father for all eternity from before the very beginning of creation. You say, now how can that be? By faith, you just need to believe it. I'm not God, so I can't answer that for you. You just need to believe the Word of God. I have no problem doing that. That's God's business. You're not God. How dare you question what God has made very clear? The best thing you can do is just do what the Bible tells you to do. Do what God tells you to do to get to know God. And the more you walk with him, the more you'll understand things. And some things you're not going to understand even when you get to heaven. Because God is somebody. You hear me? He's too deep for you. And he's too deep for me. That's why you're going to need millions of years just to get to know him. Millions. Forever and ever. And you'll never get to the end of God. Please understand. You need to humble yourself down. Down in the dirt, humble. Be meek and lowly. That's what Jesus has told you now. Because this is serious business. Jesus is God, as is written in the beginning of the Gospel of John, Jesus has existed alongside God and with God the Father for all eternity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, God the Holy Spirit. Deal with it. Ask questions later. Get saved now. Okay? You're not God, man. You can't even begin to understand 1 ounce of what God is about. Just humble yourself down. Be meek and lowly in heart like Jesus, down in the dirt humble. And just say to yourself that you don't even deserve to understand everything. You deserve to go straight to hell. And just humble yourself down and learn of me, Jesus says. It's going to be a slow walk. I was trying to do something that was new many years ago that I had never done before. Oh, I'm a master now, and so are my children. But they were little, and we were trying to do something big that we didn't know anything about. And I called the man, and with my arrogant self, I said, okay, what's the deal with this and that and this and that? Why y'all taking so long with this and that? And he said it was a white man. He said something to me I had never heard before. Oh, this is going to be a long time ago. He said, I see this is going to be a long learning curve situation. What? You sound like you're insulting me. You sound like you're calling me a dummy or something. Is this a racist situation? It wasn't. But he just frankly told me this is going to be a long learning curve. I said, what? That sound negative. What are you saying to me? Are you calling me a dummy? This is going to take a long time for me to learn your little simple system? He just sighed. Oh, boy. You know what? He was right. It was a long learning curve. And thank God for my children. They picked it up quickly. But for me, it was going to be a while. Well, let me help you. Okay, now you're talking about God Almighty. He created you. Now you're dealing with somebody who created you, okay, and here you asking a whole bunch of questions. You need to be lowly. You need to be meek. You need to be humble, down in the dirt humble. You can't get any more humble than that, but you need to get there in a hurry with the quickness, as my dad used to say, Bishop Daniel White Jr. With the quickness, because you don't understand what's going on. It's going to be a long learning curve for you, son and daughter. You might as well just sit back and humble down a little bit and just listen and learn of me, Jesus said. As is written in the beginning of the Gospel of John, Jesus has existed alongside God the Father and with God the Father for all eternity. Deal with it. From before the very beginning of creation. I don't understand it. That's all right. You say, I don't understand it all. That's okay. Just believe it all. Just believe it all. There is no one else whom we can look to so that we can know God other than Jesus Christ. Martin Luther said, here the bottom falls out of all merit. Just falls out of all merit. All powers and abilities of reason, all of your education and your prudence, the bottom falls out, Martin Luther said. Or the free will men dream of, and it all counts nothing before God. God made you, and God can break you, my beloved. And he can mold you and make you to be what he wants you to be. By his grace and by his might and by his power, God can bring you to your knees. You don't want to be humble? You want to be pharaohistically proud? You know, there's some Negroes like that. You know, Pharaoh. You can't. They got the kind of pride Pharaoh has. Not satisfied until you're dead. Stupid pride. This is why God hates pride so much. In the Old Testament and in the New Testament, God very plainly told you, he's not going to help you. He's not going to hear you. He's not going to bless you until you get humble, down in the dirt humble, where you came from. That's what's wrong with people today in the church. And in your family, you got some Negroes, and I don't care if you're white or black or red or yellow, it makes no difference, you're a Negro to me. You got some Negroes. You say, why you call them Negroes? I like the word, that's all. And I'm trying my best not to say anything else. You got some Negroes in your family. I don't know where they came from. It might have been your grandpappy, your great-grandpappy, or your grandmother. Some proud Negroes who are obstinate. Heaven can fall down on their head, crush them down to the ground, to the dirt. But they won't listen. They harden their neck. The black mothers and fathers back in the day used to call them hard-headed because they won't get lowly like Jesus. They won't get meek. They won't get humbled down in the dirt humble. They won't listen. And listen to me very carefully. These devilish people, many are in the church. And in your family, your Christian family, you can try to appease them. I'm telling you, that won't work. Some of y'all are wasting your life appeasing Negroes like this right here. Bowing down to them, and they full of hell, and the devil causing you all kind of problems. We'll steal your shirt right off of you, mama, daddy. We'll steal money from your family business because they're wicked as the devil and proud as the devil. They will embezzle money from the family, lie to the family instead of tell the truth about the evil they're doing because they're so stinking proud. You need to get meek and lowly with Jesus. That's how you need to come to God, okay? In a real sense, seriously. Later for all this arrogancy and pride, and we got Negroes all across the country, red, yellow, black, and white, proud as the devil. Won't listen to anybody. Mad, angry at everybody, and I believe with all of my heart, a lot of it is fueled by demons. They will waste 20 years. You told them to go to college 20 years ago. You told them that you'll help pay for it. Or you'll pay for the whole thing if they just go to college. They listen, I don't want to do that. Well, what you want to do? I want to play music. Oh, really? Well, what you going to play? You don't have anything to play. Because you don't have any money. And you don't have a job. Well, if you buy me a $700 guitar, I'll play it. But what if that doesn't work? What you going to do then? They're proud and arrogant. Won't listen to advice. Can't tell them anything. And they don't understand why they're bitter. Frustrated, angry at everybody. You know why? Because everybody passing them by, envious of everybody, jealous of everybody, criticizing everybody, because everybody passing them by because they have sense. You got folk in your family like that. You got folk in the church. That's what's wrong with the church today. Got a whole bunch of folk who won't listen. Christ, ladies and gentlemen, Christ must do and must give everything. That's the end of that quote. Allow me to read that in your hearing again. Help me, let me share that with you again. I want you to get that. Martin Luther said, here the bottom falls out of all merit, all powers and abilities of reason, or the free will of men dream of, And it all counts nothing before God. All your trying and all of your pushing and pulling and all of your make it happen talk. Ain't nothing happening, excuse the English, ain't nothing happening until you acknowledge God. Not anything is going to last. Christ must do and must give everything. You need to be obedient. And that's what your proud self does not want to do. Because you can, nobody can tell you anything. I'm talking to Christians. I'm talking to black folk, white folk, red folk. I don't know. There may be almost 2,000 people listening to me right now. I don't know. Had almost 1,500 this past Wednesday. Last Sunday, it was right at 1,600 people, concluding the folks on Gospel Light House of Prayer. I don't know how many folks I'm talking to, but we have many people who will hear this message and not take heed, not listen. And they'll be the same way they are now, next week. And I feel sorry for some pastors who are almost, some of them are having heart attacks, some are almost having heart attacks, trying to preach people up from the dead. Christians who are, they come to church dead, and everybody got their eyes on the preacher. Move me, preacher. Revive me, preacher. I'm about to, my foot is almost gone. Help me, preacher. Now, they were this way last week, and the pastor gave you at least a little shout. But that disappeared as soon as you got in the car. You better stop depending on people, and you better come to Jesus and yoke up with him and get your rest and your peace in him. And while you're doing that, you're going to have to let go of Bo Peep. You're going to have to let go of Sylvia. I don't know any Sylvias. I'm just using the name, so don't call me about that. You're going to have to confess your sins. You're going to have to repent of your sins and get your heart right with God as you come to Jesus. And you're going to have to humble yourself and become meek and lowly. Lowly means down in the dirt, humble. Dr. Matthew Henry said, the happiness of men lies in an acquaintance with God, period. I don't care who you think you are. You're not going to be happy. You might get glad about getting some money or something, but you're not going to have deep happiness and joy and peace if you don't know God. He goes on to say, it is life eternal. It is the perfection of rational beings. Those who would have an acquaintance with God must apply themselves to Jesus Christ. In other words, you must put your application in with Jesus before you meet God. You have to go through Jesus. For the light of the knowledge of the glory of God shines in the face of Christ. We are obliged to Christ for all the revelation we have of God. Did you get that? Any revelation you get about God, It must come through Jesus Christ. We are obliged to Christ for all the revelation we have of God the Father's will and love ever since Adam sinned. There is no comfortable intercourse between a holy God and a sinful man. Allow me to repeat that in your hearing, and then I'll be gone. There is no comfortable intercourse between, listen to me, you got to get this. It's deep, but you got to get it. There is no comfortable intercourse or relationship between a holy God and sinful man, but in and by a mediator, the man, Christ Jesus. You're not going to have it any other way.
So that's not fair. I should be able to come to God through Hare Krishna. I should be able to come to God through Buddha. I should be able to come to God through Muhammad.
You can't. There's one mediator between God and man. His name is Jesus Christ, dear friend. That's it. See, there are absolutes with God in heaven. Not in America anymore. But in heaven, there are some absolutes, my dear friend. This is absolutely true. Man has tried to know God since he was formed. The many churches, temples, synagogues, and other houses of worship testify to that fact. But all of our buildings and rituals, religions and efforts to live up to moral standards fail in bringing us closer to God. Without Christ, we can only know God the Father through God the Son, Jesus Christ. And you're going to have to deal with that. That's the reality, and that's the truth. E.E. Hewitt said these wonderful words, "My faith has found a resting place. From guilt, my soul is freed. I trust the ever-living one, his wounds for me shall plead. Enough for me that Jesus saves. This ends my fear and doubt. A sinful soul, I come to him. He'll never cast me out. My heart is leaning on the word, the written word of God. Salvation by my Savior's name. Salvation through his blood. My great physician heals the sick. The lost he came to save. For me, his precious blood he shed. For me, his life he gave." Let's pray. Let's all stand and pray. Holy Father God in heaven, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your holy word and your holy word expounded. We thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit. And we thank you, Lord, for inviting us to come to you and take advantage of your yoke, for your yoke is easy, and to enjoy your rest. We also praise you and we thank you for allowing us to come to your throne of grace boldly. And so, Holy Father God, help all of us here and everybody out there. Lord, you know who they are. To go to you, to get their hearts right with you. Some are saved and some are lost and don't know you as Savior. But we all need to go to you for our rest and our peace and our joy and for our purpose in this life. And so, Holy Father God, first of all, for those of us who are already saved, have mercy and grace upon us and forgive us of our sins. as we from our hearts, by your grace, forgive others. And Lord, we pray that others who don't know you as Savior yet, we know that your Holy Ghost is working on them. Lord, bring them on in today. Open their blinded eyes and unstop their deaf ears and save their souls as you saved us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Now, dear friend, if you're with us today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in him for salvation from the power of sin and the punishment of sin, which is eternal hell, the burning hell forever and ever. I know you may think that's a part of a fairy tale. It is not. It is real and it is true. I shared a story this week that my baby daughter found about how that Kobe Bryant said with his own mouth that he did make a profession of faith in Christ. He believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. That's what he said. He had no reason to lie. And if that's the case, he's in heaven today. He was prepared to die. Are you prepared to die today? Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? It's very simple to do it. First, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. And so have I. And so has the Pope. So has Joel Osteen. And so has the Dalai Lama. All of us have sinned against God Almighty. Everybody born into this world. The Holy Bible says in Romans 3:23, this is the word of God, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If this is not the word of God, how could somebody human make a statement like that and they don't know that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? God gave it to them. God told them to write it. No human being knows anything about other people's sins. Maybe your family members, but not anybody else that you don't know. But God does. That's why God had it to be written. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, is God's word. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. How would we know that if this was not God's word? The body will die and go to a grave. My little brother will be buried here shortly. Why? Because he was a sinner. We're all sinners. I know that may sound hard. It's not hard to me because I know where my brother is. He believed on the Lord Jesus Christ years ago. I made sure of it myself. And so did my dad. I have no tears to cry for them. They're in a better place than you are. And that I am in right now. Why? Because they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. The body goes to the grave. The soul goes to heaven or to hell. There's no limbo. There's no in between. There's no purgatory. None of that. Okay? It's heaven or hell. If you believed on Christ in this life, you're going to heaven. Like Kobe Bryant, like my brother, and like my dad. If you reject Christ and you do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in this life and you crash into the side of a mountain, you're going to hell. I know you don't like that, but it's true. Who do you think? Who do you think he is? I'm nothing. I'm just, I'm just a beggar telling other beggars where the bread is. That's it. You say, preacher, you think you're a great fella, don't you? No, I just have a great Savior. His name is Jesus Christ, and I'm trying to introduce him to you, or you to him, but you keep interrupting me. Thirdly, accept the fact, dear friend, that once you die, right now, you are on the road to hell. Right as I speak. Right now as I speak. You're on the road to hell if you have never trusted Christ as Savior. You don't have to commit another sin. You know you have sinned before. I'm sure you understand that. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 18:8, Jesus Christ, by the way, preached more on hell than anybody else in the Bible, any other prophets, including John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was a hellfire and brimstone preacher. But Jesus Christ preached more on hell than all the prophets in the Bible. And he preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Why? Because he loves us and he's trying to warn us from this awful place. Because hell is not good. It's a place of torment. Jesus Christ said in one of his sermons, Matthew 18:8, wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. Everlasting fire. Hell is a place of fire and torment and pain. You should not want to go there. And by the way, there won't be any partying in hell. There won't be any Miller time down in hell. No happy hours down in hell. No partying and boogie-boogie, jam-jam, boogie-boogie stuff going on in hell. Tell me you're going to be in hell with your friends. And no, you're not going to be able to see your friends. That's a part of hell. You might see the devil, and I'm sure you don't want to see him. Hell is a very serious matter. Hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you today. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. God so loved you. If you're in this world right now, God so loved you. Kobe is not in this world right now, but God is loving Kobe up in heaven because he believed on Christ. But you are still in this world, so therefore God loves you. You may die this evening. I know you don't want to hear that, but you may. People are dying all kinds of ways today. It's amazing how crazy we act. A pandemic is on the way, and people are just going on with their lives like nothing is happening. People are saying, peace, peace, when there's no peace, man. Locusts going wild. Pestilences, diseases, like Jesus predicted. Over 2,000 plus folk have died, and some people believe the Chinese are lying. You might be dying soon. I've seen videos of people getting this coronavirus and just falling flat on their face. This is a bad boy. You could die today. For God so loved the world, that includes you. Red, yellow, black, and white, we're all precious in his sight. That he gave his only begotten son, his name is Jesus Christ. He was speaking about himself. That whosoever, that word whosoever means anybody at any time. So that includes you too again. For whosoever believeth, that's all you have to do. Believe in him. That's what Kobe Bryant said he did. He believed on Christ and trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior and Lord. That's it. The decision takes seconds. That's it. And your destination is changed from hell to heaven. It's a beautiful thing. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. That's hell for you. But have everlasting life. That's heaven for you. Just believe in your heart. like Kobe Bryant did, and millions of others, on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one. He's the somebody you must know to get into heaven. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou you shalt be saved. Jesus Christ died for your sins. He is the sacrificial Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world, including yours. He paid your sin debt. He paid mine. And today, dear friend, all you have to do is believe on him. That's it. You don't have to join a church to be saved. You don't have to be in church to be saved. You don't have to speak in tongues to be saved. You don't have to give any money to the church to be saved. You don't have to do any other good works to be saved. You don't have to even get baptized to get saved. All you have to do is believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who took away your sins far, far away, and pray and ask him to save your soul, and he'll save you. Romans chapter 10 verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You didn't hear nothing about church membership. You didn't hear nothing about the doors of the church open. The doors of the church been open since Jesus died. What are you talking about? You don't hear nothing about shaking the preacher's right hand, getting baptized, shouting, jumping, running around the church, singing in a choir, being a preacher, being a deacon, going to college, seminary. None of that. Giving $1 million to the church is not going to save you. Listen to me very carefully. You can give $1 billion to the church. If you don't trust Christ as Savior, you're going to die and go to hell. Doing good works will not save you. You don't have enough money for this. Mike Bloomberg does not have enough money to buy this salvation. As Paul said, your money perish with thee. Has nothing to do with this. Just simply believe, like Kobe Bryant did. Simply believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him as your Savior and Lord. And I'll be glad to lead you in what is called the Sinner's Prayer. Millions have prayed a similar prayer down through the years, and millions have been led by somebody else to do it. And I count it a privilege to do it with you today. So repeat after me, dear friend, as you're believing in your heart on none other than Jesus Christ. Follow me in prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. For I have broken your Ten Commandments. I have lied before. I've stolen things before. I have lusted after people and things before. I have dishonored my parents, and I have disobeyed them. I have taken your holy name in vain. And Lord, I've committed many other sins, as you know. For Jesus Christ sake, I pray, please have mercy and grace upon my soul. As I believe with all of my heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for my sins. He suffered and he bled and he died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. Early one Sunday morning. Lord Jesus, I believe on you for my soul's salvation. I trust in you. I receive you as my Savior. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past. And help me to turn from my evil, wicked life and follow you now in the new life, Lord Jesus. For it is in your name I pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now, as an evangelist, I believe that if you believe on Christ and you pray and ask Him to save you, you're saved. Now, you have some religious people, and even some pastors who they want to take you through a whole bunch of stuff to make sure you're saved. I believe that you're saved as soon as you believe on Christ in your heart and you pray and ask Him to save you. That's why I can talk so confidently about this, because I believe the gospel. That once you believe on Christ, you're saved. You call on His name, you're saved. And that's why I can confidently say you are now saved and you're on your way to heaven. There are preachers who don't want me to say that, but I say it because I believe it. Because that's how I got saved. And I'm the last person on earth. Anybody who knows me knows I'm the last person on earth who should be saved and definitely should be preaching. So if God can save me, He can save you. And I believe that you're saved today if you prayed that prayer, believing in your heart on Jesus Christ, that He died for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go right after this service to GospelLightSociety.com. Write it down, GospelLightSociety.com. And read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. And dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com or use one of our other emails that's on your site where you are, and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you immediately today via email. So that you can grow thereby. We want to send that to you, so that material is designed to help you grow in the faith. And so we want to send that to you immediately today so that you can grow in the faith for the glory of God. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.